Shalom, Mishpocha. Shalom, family. Mishpocha is a Hebrew word. It means family. And we're the Mishpocha, the family with a Jewish heart, made up of Jewish and non-Jewish people, where the middle wall of separation between Jew and Gentile, it's finally come down to form one new man. Getting ready, Mishpocha, to blow the grandest shofar, the grandest trumpet in Zion. We want everyone, everywhere, to hear the good news. We want everyone everywhere to be red hot for the Messiah. And I have the most fascinating translation, brand new translation of the scriptures that you're ever going to see. It's called the One New Man Bible. The New Testament captures the original power that was neglected by the translators of the King James Bible. It's recaptured the true culture of Christianity, which is Jewish, which unfortunately Christianity has distanced itself from. It gives you footnotes to understand idioms, such as when you read, cut your right hand off. That's an idiom. That's not what it literally means. It's got the correct tenses, the power in the Bible that was neglected by most of the translators, and it's got over 4,300 footnotes. It's got 170 pages of glossary because Bill Morford has spent 20 years doing this research, and the original translations that he translated from was for the Hebrew Scriptures. It was an approved Hebrew Scripture put out by the Hebrew Publishing Company, and it was the best Greek translation known. And then, in addition, he studied Greek for himself, and he studied Hebrew for himself, and he studied under the finest man that I know to learn Hebrew, the grandson of the man that pioneered Hebrew for the nation of Israel as a spoken language. It was Rabbi Eliezer ben Yehuda. You found out so many amazing things. For instance, when the scriptures talk about the temple, it really should be talking about the sanctuary. Explain that, and what difference does it make?
Oh, there's a huge difference there. That's right. Every reference to the body, where most translations say your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, or that Jesus was referring to his body as the temple. Not so. All those references in the New Testament are referring to the sanctuary. The temple has an outer court where sin is welcome. Those of us who are saved, who've been washed by the blood, have no business having a place in our bodies where sin is welcome. To step into the holy place, you had to be forgiven of everything. You had to confess everything. If you had sin in your life and you set your foot on the threshold of the holy place, you were dead. And that's the way we are. If we accept sin in our lives, we're not going to step into heaven. We're lost. So we don't want our bodies to have any place where sin is acceptable. And we are the sanctuary. All those references by Paul or in the Gospels are to the sanctuary. And it's interesting that the Greek word for temple is hieron. The Greek word for sanctuary is naos. They're two entirely different words.
But we translate, the modern translations are not even the older translations, we translated everything temple rather than sanctuary, where sanctuary belongs, and temple where temple belongs.
Right. And because of that, most Bible dictionaries cite temple as an acceptable translation of naos. But when you really dig into it, it's not. It's a different thing, and it's only used once in the Bible as something other than the body, and that's to, or the actual sanctuary, the Jewish sanctuary, and that's to a sanctuary of Artemis in Ephesus.
Okay. How about this? I have always heard that amen means so be it. I never heard what it really meant. Explain.
That was one that Rabbi Ben Yehuda brought to me, because even my best Hebrew English lexicon has it meaning something related to that's true or whatever, relates it to the word emet, but it is not. It means El Melech Ne'aman, which means God is a faithful sovereign. God is a faithful king. And it's not a word in Hebrew. There is no root word for it.
Okay. Now, I've always heard that Paul was a tent maker. You take issue with that?
Oh, definitely. The Greek word translated tent maker is actually a compound word that literally says tent maker. But it was not a word in the Koine Greek language or classic Greek language that referred to making tents. It was not a Greek word at all. It was one that Paul and Luke both made up. And its meaning is described in the Bauer, Arndt, and Gingrich lexicon by a whole column written by Bauer that ends up saying he didn't know what it meant, but he knew it was a skill that had to be learned, had to be approved by someone, and highly technical in its nature, but he didn't know what it was. And there are other Greek words.
Okay, so what is it? If that's not what... Wait, we know that it's not a tent maker, so what is it?
It's making prayer shawls, because the prayer shawl was called either a tent and would be pulled up over the head to hide, just to give a place of privacy. And another name for it is a private room, a tamion, which is one that Jesus talked about when you go into your...
So just because they didn't know the culture, they made him a tent maker rather than a tallit or a prayer shawl maker.
Right.
That's made. And you know, another thing I love about your translation is you explain the messianic prophecies. For instance, Isaiah 7:14 says a virgin shall conceive and have a child. But in the Hebrew scriptures, it says a young woman shall conceive and have a child. So which is right?
Well, the Hebrew literally says a young woman, although the word used there today means virgin. And in the first century, in Bible times, a young Jewish woman had to be a virgin when she got married, or she could be stoned. That was the order. So they were.
So if she wasn't a virgin, she would have been stoned and she wouldn't have been around to have a child.
Right.
So actually, that is a correct translation to have young woman, but you need the footnote so that someone will understand it when they don't say virgin.
Right.
What about binding and loosing?
Yes, they were Hebrew idioms that to bind meant to forbid and to loose meant to permit. And where they're used in Matthew, both chapters 16 and 18, the tense that is used is actually saying that whatever you bind on earth has already been bound in heaven with ongoing effect. It's still working in heaven. And what we bind on earth then must already have been bound in heaven. So it isn't that we can make new rules and we decide what needs to be bound.
But we're not God. We're his servant.
That's right. Right, yeah. And there are a couple of words that are mistranslated. One means to come, and yet it's translated go, which is strange. like the opposite direction. God never told Noah to go into the ark. He said, come. God was already in there. He's saying, come, come with me. And he never told Moses to go into Pharaoh. It was always, come. The Spirit of the Lord was already in with Moses, with Pharaoh, and was with Moses too. And the Spirit of the Lord took Moses into Pharaoh. But a neat one that is go is in Genesis 12. God didn't just say go to Moses. What he said, Abraham. What he said to Abraham was, get yourself out of here. He issued a very strong command for Abraham to get going. So what's not in Scripture is probably that God had been dealing with him for a while to get on his way. But it's interesting that that's actually what he said, is get.
You're going to shake so many people up with Romans 16, where you show about a woman in authority. That's squeezed out of all the other translations. I'm sorry, we're out of time. We'll pick up right here on tomorrow's broadcast. I am so pleased to tell you we've put together our One New Man mentoring set, which includes this amazing One New Man Bible. This is the diamond of the group, and the inspiring 2012 Jewish calendar, most anointed world-class photographs of rivers in Israel, the dates of the Jewish feast, the exact Bible readings that Jesus himself read, and then my book, The Incomplete Church, all three items available in the One New Man mentoring set, available for a donation of $79. To hear this week's interview in its entirety, or to watch archives of our television show, It's Supernatural, visit our website at www.sidroth.org. That's www.sidroth.org. To receive a complimentary copy of our bi-monthly teaching newsletter, materials catalog, or information about becoming Mishpucha or Chalitzim, write to me, Sid Roth, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521, or call our order-only line, 1-800-447-2697. To place a credit card order, call anytime, 1-800-447-2697. For all other calls, the number is 912-265-2500. That's 912-265-2500. For a CD of this week's broadcast, send a donation of $10 or more to Sid Roth, that's SIDROTH, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521.